Okay, we're in Mark chapter 1, verse 39. And I'll read till the end of the chapter, Mark 1, 39. And he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Then a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go on your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. Lord, you are the great healing Son of God. And I think it's often understood that you're a healer. But Lord, not as much what it is you're doing when you heal. Not just healing, but you're doing beyond that in showing us the kingdom of God. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that we would see that and exalt you. It's up to us to exalt you, Lord. We hope for the world to do so, and they should. But it is your people who must exalt you. We are supposed to be a sure thing because we understand your great power. So, Lord, may we be enriched in the knowledge of your great power and kingdom today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a future word that I want to start with from Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And I'll read it to you. This is a verse of the future. It says this: "The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11, verse 15. That is the future. We're told in that verse, at the proclamation of the opening of the last seal, the seventh seal of the scroll, that scroll that pictures the title deed to the earth. And there's seven seals, and each one is peeled back and something happens. And when the last one is taken, and the scroll is opened, and the title deed of the world is portrayed there symbolically in the scroll as returning to God, then the proclamation is made that the kingdoms of this world, the United States, the Russians, the Chinese, all of them have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the future. And it is proclaimed today while these nations are in operation. So every nation on earth can go to Revelation 11, 15 and look and see what the future is for their nation if they go. But why then is it not a concern by the kingdoms of this world about Revelation 11, 15? Do you think the Iranians are worried about it? Are the Chinese fretting over this? Are we in America, in the government of this country, are people saying we have got to be aware of the future here? They're talking about what's going to happen with global warming in the future. But the real things, they don't care. So why don't they get it? Well, of course, most people today live in a closed system mentality. A closed system means this. You believe that what we have in this world is all there is. There's nothing beyond. All of our problems must be solved within this bubble, within this closed system. And we have the ability to do it. This is what the closed system means. It's like when I couldn't wait when I got that electric football game way back when I was a kid. That is a closed system type, kind of, although obviously it breaks down because I, outside the game, have to put the players on the board. But once you start it up, they're right there in their little world banging into each other. That's, you know, a closed system. But the electricity moves them around. It's all contained in that little board there. But a closed system mentality means nothing's going to come save us. Nobody's going to come rescue us. Nothing's going to straighten us out but us. We have the answer. At the core, the reason this takes place, the reason this attitude is here, is because the Bible says the devil has blinded the minds of those who believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should appear to them. They don't understand that they are actually in a not a closed system, they're in a bondage type of system where they are held captive to do the will of the devil and to not see things as they are. Miracles of Jesus present a stark contrast to that. The kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. And Jesus' healing is not just about healing, it's about his kingdom. He heals for mercy's sake, to reveal to the world the dangers of what the seventh seal speaks of. The gospel, Mark 1:14, remember, if you look back just a few verses, John was put in prison. Jesus came to Galilee preaching, notice this, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And you'll find in other parts, verse 15, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So the gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom of God, the rule of God, that is what Jesus was proclaiming. He was telling the world of a different kingdom. One they were not aware of. Because in a closed system, you only know about your world. You're not believing there's anything else. That God's not going to do anything. For now, the gospel is the offer of peace with the kingdom of God. But it's a limited time offer. And when Jesus came first, he offered peace. 2 Thessalonians tells us that when he comes the next time, it will be different. In verse 6 of chapter 1, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It is the gospel of the kingdom of God, which must be responded to in the now. Today is the day for that, for the nations to humble themselves and seek the favor of God. So what are the nations doing? Being more proud and running from the kingdom of God. And yet there it is, the future is laid right out there. They just don't believe it. Their minds are blinded. That's hard, blinds are minded. The world is in such a bad state that it takes divine power to wake it up. Otherwise, they will live in their closed system and believe, and this is what the world believes right now, that it can, by electing the right person, by making the right idea, putting in the right law, the legislating this or that, that they can fix all the ravages of sin in this world. Everything. They deny sin, And then they say that sinful things are righteous and good and harmless and proper. We've seen that recently more than, I guess, any time in our lifetime. The old mentality is viewed as dangerous. People used to believe, can you believe this? People used to believe that men and women were the only ones who could get married. What an awful backward time that was, they say. And they laugh at the old way. And they reject the Word of God. And they grow in pride. And they say how far they've advanced in morality and science and education and health care and prosperity and inventions and technology. Because they have no understanding of the kingdom of God. But they say we can fix the problems. You hear sometimes politicians talking about how we need God, but they don't mean it. They're catering to us who believe in God. A man of the world believes the world is the solution, not just the problem. But what is the world fixing? I saw a warning issued, I think it was from the CDC or FDA or something. A warning was issued this past week, and this is going to be important to all of us. A warning was issued that we should not kiss chickens. That was reported this week. Now, how many of you had it in a date in mind? You're going to get a chicken and kiss it. But this is what they strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. There's nothing I can think of that I would rather not do than kiss a chicken. Sickness has not been solved. Social ills, racism. Has racism been solved? Has prejudice, poverty, inequality, war, hunger, all these things remain in full force or more? I remember when the government simplified taxes, they got more complicated. When they decided to make health care affordable, it got more unaffordable. When they sought peace in the Middle East, which they just did with the Iranian peace deal, they made war inevitable. I really believe what happened this past week is the guarantee of nuclear war in the Middle East. How do people do things so crazy? There's another thing that the world is struggling with, this country is struggling with right now. It's not a struggle. We would all know right now what to do, right? I bet when I tell you. How do you protect servicemen who are in a recruiting office? How can you do it? And my idea, and you're going to think this is just crazy, give them guns. But, we can't do that. Well, if you had done that, then there would be less killing of what happened. It seems simple, but the wisdom of the world can't grasp it. We need the power and the wisdom of the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus is proclaiming. Jesus comes not just as a healer. He comes as someone who is assaulting the kingdoms of this world with his power, showing us that he is a king from another kingdom, and not just one like theirs, but one mightier. Mark summarized in verse 39 that he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. Probably summarized in that one verse a few months of ministry in Galilee. It mentions synagogues. He was in more than one. He was going throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. And so he was preaching in their synagogues. Today, people don't want to hear instruction and teaching. They don't hear preaching. They like action. They like to just go do it. Is like that thing we always saw at the first of the paper, the test paper, where it said read through all the questions and then come back and take the test. Nobody ever did that. Because we got the test, let's go at it. Nobody wants to prepare for things. We want to just jump right in. reason I never was a golfer that I could have been, because all I did was play golf. I never worked at golf, because playing golf is, you know, more fun. The world doesn't want to be instructed. The world has its own store of wisdom. But the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if the world does not fear the Lord, what does it have? If you must fear the Lord to have wisdom, and the world does not fear the Lord, then what does the world have? Well, Proverbs tells us, if you're not wise, you're foolish. We can't believe all the things that are being decided today. But it's because the world is foolish. It has nothing to do with the Constitution or the laws. They just make those up as they go. It has to do with the fact that without the fear of the Lord, we're foolish. Suppose you have no fear of bees. Do you have a fear of bees? I learned the fear of bees early in my life. I found that bees were very crotchety, that they were, you know, fussy. That if you crawled over a yellow jacket's nest, a yellow jacket didn't come out and say, "Well, I know you made a mistake there. I'm just going to tell you that, you know, here we are, and don't do it again." They got on you in droves. I was stung so many times, the Guinness people were pulling up in the driveway. It was all over me, and they got in my clothes. I don't know how that happened even. But they were all over me. And from that time, guess who looked before they leaped into what could have been bees? I've been stung before, never like that. But never like that. Fear of bees keeps us from getting stung by bees. Fear of the Lord keeps us from getting stung by the Lord. And the world doesn't have a fear of the Lord. If the world doesn't have a fear of the Lord, the world is foolish. It's not about intellect or knowledge, information. It's about a lack of proper action consistent with the fact that God is on the throne. If I live in God's world in a way that is not pleasing to God, knowing that the kingdoms of this world one day will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, then I'm not living in wisdom, I'm living in foolishness. That's what wisdom is in Proverbs. It's practical wisdom, how we live in the light of God's presence. And the world lives, there's no fear of God before their eyes, means they don't even know they're being watched. Our Lord's preaching then was to counter this, to promote the fear of the Lord, to instruct the world in the law of God, to prove He was the Messiah. He often did that in the synagogues. He would tell people who He really was. He would rebuke them and warn them and proclaim repentance and belief in the gospel. This was what Jesus was doing. Verse 39, He was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. That's what He was doing primarily. The other thing He was doing was proving His right to teach and preach and the authority that He had to do so. And so we're told in verse 39 also that He cast out demons. Humans live in the kingdom of Satan, and there are minions of demons who do the devil's bidding and who enforce the devil's stranglehold on mankind, and some are even possessed with unclean spirits, even today. And there's no worldly counter to this. When we look in Scripture, we see the power of God in the Lord Jesus Christ casting out demons. They never disobeyed Him. He would go and say, "Come out," they came out. "Go away," they went away. And so He's showing that He is invading the kingdom of Satan with the demons, and He is throwing them out. And He is showing that His kingdom is greater. This is what Jesus is doing here in Galilee. He's going throughout the land teaching His power and authority of His kingdom. And that means His kingdom is greater. Now verse 40 tells us about a leper. Leper came to Him, imploring Him, kneeling down to Him and saying to Him, "If You are willing, You can make me clean." Lepers were, of course, very common. Leprosy is a skin disease. It's an incurable skin disease. Sometimes it's in Scripture, it's used as any kind of a skin ailment or skin problem. And it's not always full-blown leprosy. So there's no mention here of how severe this case was. And there's symbolism with leprosy because, remember, the lamb had to be spotless. So a person who had spots in his body was considered unclean, ceremonially unclean. He couldn't come into the temple. He had to be cleansed. And if it persisted, he was alienated from his people. Lepers were called the walking dead. Their skin was drying up. Lazarus, we're told in the rich man Lazarus parable, he had sores on his body from the leprosy. So it had various manifestations, and it was healed only by power of God, Moses and Elisha and Jesus. And so leprosy was something that made a person unable to have a normal life. They couldn't worship God. They couldn't have a normal concourse with people. They had to yell that they were unclean so nobody else would be contaminated, because if you touched them, you would become ceremonially unclean. And he had heard of Jesus. It's clear from what he says here, because he comes and he asks in verse 40, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." It means he believes in the power of Jesus. He's seen it. He's heard about it. And so all it takes now, he comes in desperation. Notice how it's worded. He comes imploring him. He has just had it with this. He just had it. He has lived his life with this. He has constantly been ostracized and pushed out of normal society. Pleads with Jesus. "Lord, it's just all I need is that you be willing." That's what he says. "All I need is that if you are willing, because if you are willing, you can make me clean." That is belief. Lord, it's just your will. This incurable disease, all you have to do, and it's still incurable today, all you have to do is just, "Lord, will it to be gone," and it's gone. And Jesus responded in verse 41, he was moved with compassion. It means he felt the pain of the leper. Our Lord has the ability to understand what we're going through. And it hurts. He understands the emotional upheaval that we go through. There's a song, I don't know if it's in our hymn book or not, "Does Jesus Care?" And it comes in, "Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched by our grief." Jesus has great compassion. And the Bible here says he was moved with compassion. It means he had a hurt inside over this person's plight, this leper. And he was moved with compassion. And he stretched out his hand and touched him. And of course, you didn't touch lepers. But Jesus, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." Can you imagine going to your doctor and saying, "Listen, doctor, I know if you want me to be done with this diabetes, I'll be done with it. Just do it." He'd think we're crazy, because we would be. But the leper goes to Jesus. "Jesus, all you have to do is will it and it's gone. Will it away and it's gone." He touched him and said, "Be healed," and it was gone. Notice how Mark used it. One of his favorite words is "immediately." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Immediately. It didn't go through the 7 to 10 day process where it was, and often in the Old Testament, Leviticus 13 and 14, there's mention about how long you had to wait, and the priest had to look at you every week and see how it was progressing, and it'd take weeks before you were restored if you had a skin problem. And immediately it left. It's impossible. And so, verse 43, after the healing came a command. Jesus commanded him, notice it words it strictly. He strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Not everybody that Jesus healed was a honorable person afterwards. Remember, at one occasion, Jesus healed 10 lepers and only one came back to thank him. And Jesus here strictly warns this leper, don't go talking about this. Keep it to yourself. But you know, the way people are, how excited he must have been. No more leprosy. He's a normal person in society now. He needs to go to the priest and offer what was commanded by Moses in Leviticus. There's no word that he ever did that. What he did do was yak it up, just exactly as Jesus had said not to do. His excitement, people say, his excitement got the best of him. He was so excited, he just went and, it's not a big thing, it is a big thing. This man was given a blessing from God. This man was healed of a terrible disease. He would never get rid of, otherwise it would never go away by itself. And what does he do? Make life harder for Jesus. Because verse 45 says he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. The leper, by disobeying a strict and direct order from Jesus who healed him, showed that he too was not in connection with the kingdom of God, because he went ahead and blabbed it about because he just was excited. So he made it harder for Jesus. He was not in the city anymore. He had to go out in the deserted place. And he made it harder for everyone else because they had to go out there where he was to see him. All because he got excited. Selfish reaction. I don't think he was, as it so often happens, when the Lord blesses a person, maybe they've been sick. We see it all the time in our day. The Lord relieves someone from a terrible burden. They've been carrying that burden, and as soon as they get rid of the burden, they go back and live their life outside of the will of God. You've seen it. Oh, I've heard people say, if the Lord brings me out, they've told me directly, if the Lord takes me out of this hospital, I am serious about the Lord. If he will ever get me out here, I am very serious about serving the Lord. And the Lord got them out, and they never served the Lord. Think they forgot? The leper, he was imploring, pleading, begging, my life is not worth living. I am not a normal person in society. If you would just will me to be healed, I'll be healed. And the Lord willed it and healed him, and he went his own way. Priest, I'm healed. Listen to what Jesus said and follow him. No, I'm healed. That's all I care about. I'm excited now. I'm going to tell everybody, Jesus healed me. I'm healed now. And so it might look like he was glorifying God, but he was promoting himself. So it made it hard for Jesus to do his ministry. All he had to do was be quiet. Go quickly. Verse 43 says he warned him. He warned him. Strictly warned him. Somebody who just took leprosy from him miraculously with a touch and a word and a will. Took it away. And he warned him strictly, do not go do this. Do not go talk about this. And he goes out and talks about it. You see, this man who encountered the power of the kingdom of God turned against it in his actions. And so he became, instead of someone who could glorify the Lord by his healing, ended up hindering and hampering the ministry there in Galilee. You see, that's the kingdom of God. And many people hear about the gospel, and they look at it as something that's being offered to us freely, which is true. And we just are to choose to take it or not take it, which is not true. Well, yes, we are to choose it, or we reject it. But it's not about you. It's not about the sinner as much as it's about the kingdom of God and being made right with the kingdom of God. And to pick and choose it like it's some kind of thing on a menu we can take or leave. The gospel is commanded. It's commanded in verse 15 when Jesus went out, repent and believe in the gospel. That is a command. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. That is a command. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. The gospel is the offer of peace between the kingdom of God and the citizens of this world who are trapped in the kingdom of Satan. It is an offer of peace. And what do we do with signs? We see a sign on the road, they all tell the future. We are going to encounter the future in signs on the way home. Some signs will say dead end. It's not a dead end where the sign is. It's a prediction of a dead end down the way a little bit. If you go down that way, you'll see. Stop ahead. Doesn't mean you stop where the sign is. It's a prediction of the future. You're coming up to a stop sign. You'll have to stop. Or these curve signs, or the merge signs. Whatever the sign is, it is a prediction of the future. Revelation 11:15 is a prediction of the future. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the future prediction is not for the future. It's for the now. The time for the world to deal with the future is now. Whenever I get to a point where I've got to remember something, and I used to just say, well, I'll get to it, but I don't anymore because I don't remember what I was going to get to. So you got to do it then, or you got to write it down and remember where you wrote it down. And when the Lord here brings the kingdom of God to this man and brings the kingdom of God to these synagogues, when is it that they must act upon it? When is Revelation actually applicable to us? In the future? No, right now. For thousands of years, for a couple of thousand years almost, with Revelation, we have seen this future. It is for now, right now. That is what people have to do. That's what the gospel of the kingdom of God is. That's why Jesus went about preaching and healing, to show the power and the authority that he had as the king of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Your name is higher than all other names. And the world lives in a system of blindness that believes that they will get together, here, we in the world, will get together and figure out how to solve all the sin problems that have arisen from our fall. That sickness will be stopped, and it's not been. That social ills will be solved, and they have not been. That all the problems of our society that comes from being separated from you, we'll solve those, and we've not. Lord, you alone, in the kingdom of God and your power, can solve these things. And it begins with our repentance and belief and submission and peace with you through your blood. And so, Lord, I pray that this kingdom of this world, this nation, would bow to your kingdom. And that we would bow to your kingdom today. In Jesus' name, amen.